Wednesday, the 3rd of November, 3rd of December, Vov Kislev, Rabbi Osher Zelig Rubinstein, How to Triumph Over a Lavon.
Title of my little talk this morning, well, if that's what the title of my little talk is, that's what it has to be, I guess, isn't it? Parshas Vayetze, we have Yaakov pitted against Lavon twice. The first time was Yaakov against Lavon. Yaakov wanted to marry his daughter. And then Rachel tells him, you know, my father's a big Ramai. And Yaakov answered, Im Ramai hu, Ochivani v'ramos. I'm not worried. Because Yaakov the Ish Tam certainly was no fool, and he said, I have every intention of making sure that I marry you. And Ochivani v'ramos. Who won that battle? Lavan won. I mean, they gave him layup. Nothing that Yaakov did helped. So, if you want to keep score, Lavan won, Yaakov zero. And then there's another Yaakov against Lavan. At the end of the parasha, we might call it the financial side of Yaakov against Lavan. And there Yaakov won. And Yaakov got all of Lavan's wealth and all the sheep and everything else. So you may say, well, it's one up. One for Lavan, as far as the daughter is concerned, and one for Yaakov, he's getting all the wealth because Yaakov was very clever with the speckled band and whatever he did. So that is the Yaakov against Lavan. But the truth is, Rabbeisai, it's not Yaakov won and Lavan won, one up. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu, two, against everybody else is zero. Who won? Kodesh Baruch Hu won. And let's see over here. How did it happen? And if a person gets to understand this lesson, he is a very fortunate person, and he'll have the power of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he'll know what to invest in and what to not to bother investing in. Let's go back to the first battle of Yaakov against Lavan. Yaakov wants to marry Rachel. Rachel says, my father's going to try to make some kind of a swindle and try to give you Leah instead. And he married Leah first. What happened? The Enei Leah Rakois. And the eyes of Leah were weak. Says Rashi, Shoisa Subura Lavas Begorolo Shal Esav. People were saying, Agdoila the Godlo Vaktanam the Kotten. Esav was legally the older son. Yaakov came a little after him. Leah was the older daughter. Agdoila the Godlo Vaktanam the Kotten. And Leah wanted to marry Yaakov. Now, let's look at Leah. Who was the more successful person in the world? Esav or Lavan? Esav or Yaakov? Now Yaakov was this yeshiva bacha. He had no profession. He had nothing going for him. All he knew how to do was learn Torah and nothing else. That's all Yaakov had. Esav was a successful person. He succeeded in whatever he did. He gained wealth, perhaps by stealing, but he gained wealth, and he was a person with means. But Leah didn't want to marry the wealthy Esav. She wanted to marry the little meek yeshiva bacha called Yaakov. That's what Leah wanted. And she wanted it to the extent that she cried and she cried and she cried until her eyes were weakened with tears. And when a person cries, there's something called Sharei Demoyos Loi Ninalu. And since she cried that she wanted to marry Yaakov, In Shemayim it was decreed that Leah will marry Yaakov, and not just that Leah will marry Yaakov, but Leah will marry Yaakov first, and Leah will have the majority, most of the children. It was not Lavan that won over Yaakov in giving Leah to Yaakov. It was the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was Leah, and Leah's tears. Rabbi Sai, we're living in a generation where there are so many problems and tzaras for Klal Yisrael. And what do we have? What weapons do we have at our disposal? We have the most powerful weapon in the world called dimois, tears. Chazal saying that even sometimes there might be a situation that shari tefila ninalu, it might be that the gates of prayer sometimes might be closed for whatever reason, but shari dimois lo ninalu. There will never come a time, no matter what, that the gates of tears will be closed. And a person can accomplish anything in the world that he or she wants if he or she comes to tears. And I'd like to talk a little bit about tears for a few minutes, because that's what happened with Leah, because she cried real tears through her eyes, and she was able to marry Yaakov. If you could teach the women in your family to cry, who wants to cry? We want to cry. We want to cry before rather than cry after. Because this is a world where crying is part of life. And there's nobody on earth who doesn't cry. Nobody. The question is, when do you cry? You cry before, or you cry after? What does that mean, before, and what does it mean after? Hazoirim bedima berina yiktzeiru. Whoever seeds with tears harvests with joy. That's called crying before. Crying in prayer. Crying in beseeching. Please, Father in heaven, please. But there's another kind of crying, and it's called crying afterwards. If you haven't cried before, and you've grabbed something that seems like joy. It says in the Igeres HaGra that a person has to be very careful what he takes from this world. Just wants to have a good time in this world. Ki mochar tivkeh me'asher hayoim tismoch. If today you take some unearned joy, you just want to have a good time, you're going to cry tomorrow. And that's painful. Crying afterwards hurts. Crying over what happened is really, really painful. But you could cry before. All of the mechanchim, Batchinu Chabani v'Habanois, and they use this rule. You want to have nachas from your children? Simcha, Berino Yitzayru, cry. Learn to cry before. And crying means tearing your heart out to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. My children should be Elecha Yidin. My boys should be Elecha B'dei Terim. My girls should be Noshim Tzidkonios and Tznuos. And cry. Now, men don't cry so easily. If it's the afterwards crying, men can cry as well. The beforehand crying, men don't cry so easily. But there's something called the Miskorim, the Mistorim Tivke Nafshi. That crying inside that men can do as well. I'm crying to Hashem, please. Hashem, you see the tears in my heart that my son should grow up to be Elecha B'nei Terim and my daughter should be Noshim Tzinuah Yisvei Kedoshois. Women, on the other hand, were given the power of actual tears, real tears. They can do it. We all know that. Unfortunately, usually we know it when they cry for the wrong reasons, because sometimes we were the guilty parties that made them cry. The power of a woman's tear is awesome. The Gemara Ksuba says the power of one tear, caused her husband's life to go away, of a big tzaddik, because he brought his wife to one tear. You know the most powerful thing on earth is? The most powerful physical thing, a tear, one little tear. Wow, that power. There's no bomb that has the power of tears. Women, by lich benching, thousands of years, what kept us going? Our bubbies used to bench lich, and the tears would flow down their eyes. And they were talking Yiddish by lift benching, and they would cry. Hit up my man, go by Lech Yid. Watch my husband and my children, and they would cry and cry. Unfortunately, this fantastic Indian that kept us going for all these years has kimat dried up. We're living in a very cold, unemotional world. And the Yiddish mama has forgotten how to cry. Until Chas V'Shalom, there's a crying afterwards over something that is tragic. But tears before save tears from later. Now the Kodesh Baruch Hu has brought a lot of tzaras on Klal Yisrael. He's caused many tears. He wants the tears to come back, but he wants the tears to be there. Hazirim bedima. Our tears are still fresh from what happened in India. That the whole world was aware of. He would rather have other kind of tears. I heard from Rav Volva Zichrono Livracha, the Godel Bali Amusar in the last generation. So when he was a child, he lived to his 90s. When he was a child, meaning around 1910, he heard his mother crying by lich benching. The Rebbeinu Shalom hit up my shleimula zobleiben in Elach Yid. The Rebbeinu Shalom watched my shleimula to stay in Elach Yid. I was a little boy. I saw my mother crying that I had to stay in Elach Yid, and I said, he was offended. His mama was made, so what do you think, mama? What are you afraid? I'm going to go off? And she said, shleimula, the vesish was kumfar. Wise woman, 1910, you don't know what's going to happen to the world and what you're going to have to live through. He lived through a lot, World War One and World War Two and everything in the middle and everything else. And he says, if I'm still an Elach Yid today at all, it's because of my mother's tears. He has no doubt in his mind, because there's so many times when the Shoenis were there, enormous, it's his mother's tears that lifted him up. He carried him. If any women are listening to this, and husbands could say, let's go back to the Yiddish of tears. And if a woman can start thinking, you know, if you cry now, you're not going to have to cry later. There's a Chassam Sefer, or I think it's a Harid of Hashem, a Chassam Sefer, it might be somebody else who said it over, an awesome thing. On the Pasuk, Ki yele ish ben seirev humeirev. The person has chalila v'chas. The greatest tragedy that can happen to a Jew is to have a ben or a bat seira v'meira. How could it be in the Yiddish house a ben seira v'meira? Says the Chassam Sefer, the pasuk answers, "Einenu shomea v'kol aviv v'kol imoy," because he didn't hear his father's voice and his mother's voice. says the Chacham Sofer, and Emes Shomer b'Kalaviv. Kalaviv means a father with a Gemara niggin. That he didn't see his father learning Gemara, so gishmak. Kalaviv. And he didn't hear Kol Imai crying by lich benching, and crying by davening, and crying by the tzenerena, and crying by tehillim. He didn't hear Kol Imai. So, for state tzachav, he didn't hear Kalaviv, but he didn't hear Kol Imai. He became a ben sefer of a melech. But the person that hears Kol Aviv, which is the father's department, and Kol Imai, which is the mother's department, then she cries. When you hear Kol Imai, it tears you in the neshama. And make sure you stay in Elch Yid. So if you can possibly, anyway, in a good way, try to explain to your wife, and then your daughters when they get married, use the most powerful weapon given to mankind, demoyos, tears. Cry before. For those people that just jump into doing things and their children, well, I'm into having a good time. I want to have a good time. You children take care of yourselves or take care of yourself. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going out here, going this and that. Mochar tivke me'asha hayoim tismoch. And some people should think, how many tears is this going to cost me? Not how much money it's going to cost me. How many tears am I going to have to cry because of my negligence or my whatever? Tears are painful if they're afterwards. Tears are beautiful if they're before. Leah cried, and therefore Leah very soon after she cried had a sheva brachas, and she rejoiced. Hazoyim b'dima. Berina Yitzoyu, Leah, cried and rejoiced with the Sheva Brachas, a husband, and Ema Banim Smecha, the mother of half of Klal Yisrael. Power of tears. It wasn't love that won that battle. It was Leah, or the tears of Leah. Now, what happened to the second encounter of Yaakov and Lavan? Financial one. One would think. And you know, it's interesting that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote a Torah that is purposely misleading. Purposely misleading. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want the whole world to have access to the Torah. The Bible has been translated into every single dialect on planet Earth. It's the world's bestseller. So how can we say, how can we say he separated us from the Goy because he gave us the Torah, when everybody on earth can just go and buy in their language or dialect what they call the Holy Bible? Well, of course they don't have Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the essence of Torah. But the Chal, they don't have the Torah because his brother wasn't interested, and if you read the Bible you have really an idea of Torah. So here there's a Bible story over here of the successful, what seems to be the successful role of Yaakov, of taking the speckled bands, and to the uninitiated, it would seem that Yaakov succeeded. Now, first of all, some people might be a little bothered by that. Was that fair? Was that sneaky? Was that? I won't go into that. And he became very wealthy. And then Lavan is very upset. And Yaakov has to call his wives and tell them, we have to leave. And I see that your father is very upset with me. You want to know how to be a good worker? Yaakov said, work as good as you can. If you have a job, you're working for somebody, do your best. Yaakov didn't sleep. Yaakov worked day and night. That's what I did. What did I get in return? The Avichen Hesel be. Your father made other leitzanus of me. The hechlif es maskurti Aseres Moinim. He changed my Maskores 10 times 10. Amona is 10, 100 times. But, Lo Nesona Elokim Lehova Imodi. God didn't let him hurt me. Imko Yoima, if he would say, Nekudim Yeschorecha, Yodu Cholot, say Nekudim. Imko Yoima, Akudim Yeschorecha, Yodu Cholot, say Akudim. Vayatzel Elokim es Mikna Avichem Vayitem Li. And God gave me his son. Now, over here we see that it wasn't love, it wasn't Yaakov's histadlos that worked. Yaakov's histadlos with the speckled bands failed. It didn't work. It failed. Now, how did it fail? Because Laban caught on to it. And Laban watched what Yaakov was doing. So what did Laban say? If he had speckled, brown speckled, white with brown speckles, he saw what he did. And Yaakov said, those would be mine and the other ones would be yours. So Laban went and changed. After they became pregnant with, allegedly, supposedly, the speckled and whatever it was. And Yaakov, Laban said, you know, I changed my mind, Jacob. You know, we'll switch. I'll take the speckled, you'll take the pink ones.
I get the pink ones?
Yeah, you get the pink ones, yeah. That pink is all mine. What did Hashem do? They all became pink. Pink, oh my goodness. And so then he changed it again. I'll take the black ones, and I'll take the white ones, and the brown ones, and the white, and you'll take the orange ones. So they all became orange. Or green, or whatever. Love was caught up with his shrewdness, with his thievery, with his deception. There's no question that when it came down to the status of Yaakov against Laban, Laban won. Because he was a deceiver and a liar and a cheater. And he did it, he wasn't even ashamed or embarrassed. Ba'avichen heisel bi. He made utter late sonus. Bechli des maskuti aseres moinim. But there's a God. And God did whatever was good for me. Because why? Because I was honest in my work. I was honest. I worked so hard. I was honest. I was diligent. I did whatever I can for him. So he became a cheat and a thief. And God saved me. So let's keep score now. Yaakov against Laban. Well, we already saw that it wasn't Laban that tricked him in having Leah get married. First, it was Leah. It was tears. The tears that trigger off divine intervention. The tears that have the power to bring anything and everything. And then came financially, which today, of course, is so relevant. What does Kosh Baruch Hu want from us today? What did he do? What did he do? Kosh Baruch Hu do? It was going so well. He didn't have money, and he didn't get stuck. Want. Well, Malin Novi, I think I know what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. He wants us to turn to him. Somebody told me, I called up somebody and I asked him how what's the situation? Somebody that was very wealthy. He said the situation is there's nothing on earth secure anymore. There's just no security. You don't know what and where to do with your money other than take it in a fireproof bag and put it under your mattress. And I said, security? There never was allowed to be any security. Then it hit me. It hit me what God is doing. the Jewish salvation is only when a person believes and is boteach in the Kodesh Baruch Hu legamri. We said this morning, Moedim Anachnu Loch. Shoah Tov. Tzur Chayenu, you are the rock of our life. You are the only secure thing we have. We have nothing else. I might have £1 billion in investments. I might own Lehman Brothers. So I don't need you to be Tzur Chayenu if I own Lehman Brothers, do I, God? God says, well, wait and see. If owning Lehman Brothers is a good substitute for me. Hashem wants us to rely on Him and Him alone. And obviously the Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that people were feeling a certain sense of security with their money. So Hashem says, you know what? If that money is taking your heart away from having bitachon in me, I will prompt you to have bitachon in me, because I'll take away that money. Because I want you to come to Tzur Chayenu. Let me tell you something. There's something called life insurance, which is a very big misnomer, because nobody in the world can insure life. Life insurance. They should call it widow pension payers, because usually the women last longer. That doesn't sound very good. Life, widow pension payers. No man knows, no payers. The widow, who knows, she's going to marry somebody else afterwards. Life insurance sounds good. The one that bothered me the most in America is called Allstate. That is an advertisement. You're in good hands with Allstate. It's your man and his house and his car. Who? No one's in Allstate's hands. But you know, there is a life insurance company called Almighty. The Almighty Life Insurance Company, and it insures life. And you know what? You're in good hands with the Almighty. Al chayenu havesurim biyodecha. So let's just take Allstate and just change it a little bit, cross out the state, and Almighty. Almighty life. It insures life. It's teiras chayim. There are ways of having life, and you have to know that you're in good hands with the Almighty. And we are in His hands. Our life, our health, our children, our wealth is in His hands. Lavan can't take it away from me, and nothing I do, none of my ishtadlus can help. We go through the emotions of ishtadlus. What the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give me, He will give me. What I have is yours, Hashem. And a person should take stock of what he has left and look at it and say, thank you, Hashem. This is your gift to me. It wasn't my brilliance at work. It wasn't all my schemes. Thank you. This is a present from you. I appreciate it. I and everything I have am in your hands. And I beseech you to take good care of everything that I have. And I beseech you to help me and my family and Klal Yisrael. And that's what I think Hashem wants. He wants us to turn to Him rather than rely on something we can count and look at our bank books. We're getting very close to Mashiach, there's no question about that. How is Mashiach going to come if people don't turn to the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Chazal say there's one situation that before the Mashiach comes has to be. First of all, there was one simon that hadn't been Mekuyim yet, from all the simonim of Mashiach, and now it's Mekuyim. Ashitich v'pruta v'nakit. Up until a few months ago, people had problems with that. Mashiach's not going to come because there's a lot of money around. The Mashiach can come. He can come. But the main thing is, Ein lanu leishoyin el alavinu sheba shamayim. It's all we have. It's the only security we have. But that's a very strong security. We have to feel that security in our hearts. And when we turn to Hashem and daven to Him, we have to say, thank you for what I have. And please give me more. And be aware. And when you get to Modim, stop for a second. I'm about to say Modim, I'm about to say Tzur Chayenu, you are my security. I'm about to say Al Chayenu Am Surim Yodecha. And then when you finish one Esrei, stop for a second and say, please, Shibana Beis HaMikdash, Bimhei Rav Yameinu.